Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. There's a new online medical service available for people needing medical care called TeleMed, where people can interact with a doctor without going to a doctor's office. KRMG's Russell Mills talked to Dr. Laren Hightower about how it works.
You're based here in Tulsa, is that correct?
That's right, yes.
Okay. And you're a physician. You've been practicing for a few years, and you can quantify that for me in a moment. And you told me you've worked in emergency rooms. You've been an ER doc. And now you've set up a practice that's a little bit unique, I think, especially for Oklahoma. So start, if you would, doctor, by giving us a little bit of your background, and then tell me about how this practice works.
Yes, well, I appreciate you having me on. Yes, I've been an urgent care doctor for several years. I actually finished family practice residency in 2006, and since then, I've done urgent care solely, and have seen a lot of times where, you know, we find folks that necessarily don't need a test, although certainly that's required sometimes, but having the issue with the physician shortage that, you know, we all talk about, you know, the healthcare crisis and the expense of healthcare. And so it was in 2017 when Governor Fallon actually signed a telemedicine bill that went into effect that basically allowed doctors to establish a physician-patient relationship online without a prior relationship. So I got to looking and I thought, you know what, that would serve a lot of folks, especially in rural areas. And there's a big convenience factor for that too. So I started reading a lot about it. And then over the last, since then, have basically been developing my practice, which I've just been in practice now just a handful of weeks, and have already been seeing folks who just love the service. And so It's a great thing to do when you can see folks, even if they're in the panhandle or whatever part of the state they're in, especially, you know, we've talked about it before where there's a lot of hospital shutdowns and, like I said, physician shortages. So it is a service that's greatly needed. And obviously with telemedicine or telehealth, it can't take care of everything, certainly not for emergencies. But the nice thing is, if I can't help them online, whether that's through a prescription or reassurance or a combination of that, I can order a certain test. But if I can't help them in that manner, then I don't charge them. If I need to tell them, you know what, that would be better served in a brick and mortar area, you know, facility, then I'll refund their money back. So it's a nice thing to have, especially, like I said, when there's a big physician shortage.
No kidding. And, okay, so let's talk a little bit about how this works.
Okay.
It's a secure, and I'm reading your website, so I'm not just shooting in the dark.
Yes.
Here. It says it's a secure,
yes,
HIPAA-compliant video conferencing. So what do I need on my end to make that work?
Well, it's actually pretty easy. So there's nothing to download. You simply go to my website and you click schedule. And what you'll see there is times available that you can click for an appointment. And then once you do that, it's a real easy process. You just fill in your name, your email, and then you go to your email and there's a password you put in to basically fill in an intake form that I'm going to send you. So yes, like you said, it is HIPAA compliant. It's a encrypted, and it meets the requirements set forth by the Oklahoma law, and certainly it's secure in so many ways. Now, not everything is secure. Even, you know, that's the thing, is that even major companies get hacked.
Right. It's still the internet, right?
It's still the internet, right? I mean, even phone calls, right? I mean, so, but there's been a lot of efforts put into the platforms that I'm using, and there's several out there to make sure that it is as secure as it can be. And so once basically they fill in the intake form, and it's, again, it's all online, it's kind of point and click kind of thing. You fill in your medical history, then I receive that securely. I review it, and then I send folks the chat link. Now, unlike the traditional way to do it, of course, we, you know, co-pays and all that, I don't bill or submit claims. It's simply a $58 online, where once all the intake forms are submitted, that probably takes literally about 10 minutes for the patient. They're directed automatically to the payment page. It's $58, and we're off and running, where I send them a link they simply click, whether it's through their smartphone, their text, or through their email. And that's it. It's pretty easy, and like I said, the patients that I've seen thus far, they're like, wow, this is so easy. I'm glad your service is available. So it is nice to know that, you know, not only it's convenient in so many ways, and, you know, it serves a lot of folks who otherwise, you know, would, you know, pay $150 to go to the local urgent care if they didn't have insurance versus it's $58.
And or have to, you know, drive an hour to get to the local, you know, to the nearest urgent
care, right,
or to the, you know, nearest doctor's office. Because, again, we're talking about a lot of folks in this state who are out there, you know, they're living, you know, not in the middle of town, and they don't have a lot of options for healthcare.
Right.
So, all right. So basically, I don't need a big multimedia computer hookup. I can do this on a smartphone.
That's right. And really, everyone I've seen, except for maybe two people, have used their smartphone, because, I mean, the technology is there as far as the clarity of video. And so we're basically a video chat, secure video chat. And I'm, you know, have my office here in Jinx that I'm seeing folks online. So, yes, it's super easy. Again, done by the smartphone. You just kind of click the link, and then we're off, you know, to video chat. And, of course, before we do that, I review their medical condition and their issue, and then we talk about it. And you know, if it's more of a reassurance thing, then that's what it is, versus a prescription. So yeah, it's I'm definitely happy to provide that, and a lot of patients, like I said, are just raving about it.
So if I take advantage of this service, and you get to the point where you think, you know, you really kind of need a closer look at you, or
yes,
I need to, you know, do something. Do you, you know, can they visit your office, or do you refer them to their primary care physician? Because one of the things I noticed in here was, you know, this does not replace the need to have a primary care doctor.
Absolutely, it does not. And, you know, everyone needs a primary care doctor, you know, for cancer screening and for maintenance care. I mean, that's what I champion, and I'm a primary care doctor. That's what I was trained to do. Yes, if I feel that I can't fully serve them effectively online, then I'm going to say, you know what? Yes, your condition really requires, I would recommend you go to an urgent care. And then I refund their money. Because you're right. It doesn't replace the primary care doctor, and it's not for emergencies. And, you know, some conditions may not be emergencies, but they just need further testing to make sure that it's not emergency, right? So there's definitely some instances where they would need to get checked out in person. That's true.
Dr. Laren Hightower with TeleMed. The opioid epidemic isn't only an adult problem. It affects adolescents, too. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills spoke with Dr. Dolores Vasquez about the problem and how it's affecting our kids.
Dr. Dolores Vasquez with the OSU Health Sciences Center. Am I getting that?
I always confuse their name.
Center for Health and Science. Yes.
Center for Health and Science. Okay, the Oklahoma State University Center for Health and Science. They need to shorten that. Come on, guys. Throw me a bone. I'm getting old. All right. Dr. Dolores Vasquez was here today to do a short video for about STEM, about specifically your area of expertise, which is, and I'll let you explain it to folks.
So it's my area of expertise in neuroscience. I am basically an addiction researcher. So yes.
An addiction researcher.
Yes, that's correct.
So you're doing research on how the brain is altered by addiction, or what parts of the brain determine whether or not we become an addict. Kind of explain to me what your focus is.
You kind of say it just right on the spot. So basically my research is right now focused on understanding how opioids, specifically drugs such as oxycodone or morphine, actually change the adolescent brain, because we know a lot of data about how the brain changed, like how the opioids change the adult brain. But there are not so many reports about what opioids are doing to the adolescent brain. So my research line is focused basically on that.
Wow. All right. So let's start with opioid crisis in this country, Oklahoma in the epicenter of it.
Yeah, it's quite sad. Oklahoma ranks number 3 nationwide on opioid epidemic, and it's increasing public health in our state. And we in OSUCHS, if you want like a short name for this, Oklahoma State for Center for Health and Science, in CHS, we are allocating tremendous amount of resources for tackling from the clinics, from programs and research for actually understand this opioid epidemic and doing something for the Oklahomans.
So there are some who are sitting here right now going, why didn't we do all this research before we started passing out all the opioids? I mean, kind of seems like the cows left the barn and now we're going to go shut the door.
Yeah, it's kind of a tricky subject, because sometimes legislation goes a little bit faster than science, and sometimes we don't have the exactly amount of resources for support what legislation is moving forward. But I think it's quite interesting and very, very important to educate our population about how we take opioids, how important is not taking opioids that were not prescribed for you. So I think that if we start doing more education to population regarding how opioids could be so problematic in the long road, probably we will move forward tackling this opioid epidemic.
All right, so let's start with, and I see two sides of the coin here. I see, you know, how is a brain maybe more or less likely to become addicted on opioids? And then the other side is, well, what do opioids do to the brain? So let's start with part one.
Yes. So addressing about how likely or how do we became an addict, like an opioid addict, fortunately, not everyone became an addict. And probably the environment is something that is tremendously important. So in science, in basic science, we call it an enriched environment. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about an enriched environment could be having more brothers, speaking another language, having a lot of enough parental control, so attention from your parents or grandparents. Exercise is a great example of enriched environment. So when you are exposed on your early life to an enriched environment, you actually protect your brain against drugs. So even if you have some kind of risk for genetic background, if your mom or dad or grandpa were alcoholics or opioid abusers, if you are growing up in an enriched environment, that in a kind of way will protect your brain and reduce the risk of you became an opioid abuser.
Wow. So there is a... In the eons-long debate of nature versus nurture, we're finding out it's both.
Yes, it's both. Unfortunately for addiction is a brain disease. So an addict can't stop using, not because he or she doesn't want to. It's because it's sick. So you have a disease. Your brain is sick. So you need to help your brain in a kind of way to heal in order to become or get out of that addiction problem. So I really, really think that from my perspective, doing prevention more than reverse the process will help in a way, way more powerful way.
Okay, so let's look at the other side of the coin. If somebody is exposed to opioids, and you said that doesn't necessarily mean they become an addict,
mm-hmm.
that there are some people who are more likely to, based on whether or not they had an enriched environment when mm-hmm. they were younger or now, I guess. But once exposed, what do opioids do to the brain? Do they damage the brain?
The big problem with drugs, and I'm talking about opioids, we can talk about amphetamine, we can talk about heroin, we can talk about marijuana if you want to. The big problem with drugs is that they hijack a system that you have in your brain that is called the reward system. So you as a human are able to enjoy drinking a glass of water after running an hour. Or maybe you enjoy, I don't know, what is your favorite food?
My favorite food?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Let's go with brownies and ice cream.
Okay. And which one is the one that you really, really don't like it?
That I don't like?
Yes.
Broccoli.
Broccoli. So if I right now I give you a plate of broccoli and a plate of ice cream and brownies, what would you choose?
Well, gosh, I want to go with ice cream and brownies,
ice cream,
doctor.
And brownies. Right? Because it's something that is very pleasurable for you.
Right.
So when we are talking about food, water, sex, exercise, those are pleasurable things for us. So we use a specific part in our brains for processing what make you happy, what give you pleasure. And the big problem with drugs is that drugs coming in and just hijack that system that is already in place for actually changing the brain. But the big problem is that the brain doesn't discriminate if what is making me feel good is cocaine or what is making me feel good is brownie. So it's exactly the same response. So because they hijack that system in your brain, that's why you experience this addiction and all the behavioral phenotypes that you observe.
Okay, so we know that an opioid overdose can lead to death.
Yes.
But is it physically damaging the brain, long-term use of it?
Yes, it definitely affecting. So what studies telling us is after long-term use of opioids, you have a decrease in white matter, which is nothing more than the number of neurons that you have in your brain. And neurons are those cells that are composing your brain. So basically, you have a neuronal death every time that you use continuously drugs. Then from another perspective, you have something that is called sensitization. So your body is used to it to respond to a certain amount of drug, but then at the end of the day, you develop something that is the opposite, which is tolerance. So then you need more and more and more and more every time. And then the big problem is that sometimes that's what it causes it lead you to overdose, because you are seeking for that first rush that you felt the first time that you consume the heroin or the oxycodone. And the big problem is that rush is not going to happen again. Because that was the first time. That was the first time. Can you remember the first time that you try brownie and ice cream? And probably you didn't taste it the same. It was just absolutely delicious, right? So the big problem with the drugs is it happened the same. The first rush, the first time that you try it, is going to be tremendously pleasurable. And the problem is, as your body and your brain develops tolerance, it's not going to feel as great as it felt the first time.
So you're going to keep increasing the dosage, trying to recapture that first rush that you got.
Exactly.
And eventually you're going to give your body so much drugs it cannot process them and you die.
Exactly.
Dr. Dolores Vasquez, special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective. For Cox Media Group, I'm Burt Williams.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.